Women who drink Havdalah wine or grape juice will grow a beard.
I feel like
true.
It's happened.
It's the worst split.
I've seen it happen for
like,
men.
Why would it be true?
Because I've seen it happen
for have any of you girls heard of that that idea? That
I've
women
heard of
who drink?
It. I've never heard of it.
Heard of it? Okay, sorry, now you heard of it.
But also, women are allowed to say Havdalah.
Yeah, they can't drink the wine after or else they have beard.
So
but then, what?
So let's get to the heart of the matter, as we like to do in this little class. Let's separate truth from myth. We're halfway there. We're at least 50%. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Nashim chayavot b'havdalah kashim shechayavot b'kiddush. Women are obligated to do havdalah just as they are obligated to do kiddush. Okay, no surprises there, right? Women got to do Havdalah and not Kiddush. But here's maybe the shocker for y'all. The Yesh Mi Shecholek. Some, the Shulchan Aruch writes, disagree and say that women are not obligated to do Havdalah. So let's ask ourselves for a moment, why? Why would anyone disagree with the obligation of women to do Havdalah?
The whole idea of Shabbat is that you don't learn on Shabbat, but women at that time
didn't work.
Interesting.
So can I say a confession? That's a creative answer. Yeah, you
can
confess.
Like after
we
finish this one.
Okay, Shabbat.
I mean, I can say no.
What are you eating?
Whenever.
Pomelo, you want? Wait, what is
this?
Pomelo?
Is it like a... Okay, girl, eat the pomelo, but let's focus on the Torah. Okay? So, I think the rationale for why one wouldn't obligate women is because Havdalah is a mitzvah shezman grama. You only do Havdalah at a particular time in the week. And in general, the rabbis putrefied. They gave women non-obligation when it comes to time-bound matters. And so that would be the reason why some would argue that women are not obligated to do Havdalah. Now that we understand that side, now we have to understand the other side. The main opinion that says that women are obligated to do Havdalah, what would be their rationale? Why should they do Havdalah? It's actually hinted.
Yes, all the mitzvot, even if they're positive time-bound on Shabbat.
Very good. You see that? It's actually hinted to in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Nashim Rechayev v'Havdalah kishim shechayevot b'kiddush. Shulchan Aruch is subtly hinting to that idea that just as by Kiddush, men and women are equally obligated because when all things related to Shabbos, men and women have the same obligation. So Havdalah is basically a din in Shabbos. It's the end of Shabbos. It's how we separate from Shabbos. The last halacha of Hilchos Shabbos is Hilchos Havdalah, and therefore women are obligated to do Havdalah even though it's time-bound. So that's the rationale for why, yes. Now, let's think for a second. What would be the rationale for why women are not obligated?
Shabbos is over.
Very good. Exactly. So perhaps we should look at Havdalah, and it's not actually part of Shabbos. It's the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
It's exactly on the threshold of, is it part of the new week, or is it the ending of the laws of Shabbos? And now we can understand that this machlokas brought down the Shulchan Aruch is basically about the nature of Havdalah. You guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cute. What we just did is what's called lomdis, or a brisker chilik. We're trying to understand the halacha by breaking it down and defining the mitzvah. Okay, mm-hmm. This is what we like to do in yeshiva to feel all stark. Okay?
Like technical terms?
Very good.
I'm really good at it.
In technical terms, it's technically, Yom Rishon.
No, not
Shabbat.
Exactly. Motzei Shabbos is Yom Rishon. So.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. I mean, what's the biggest? But obviously, what's the biggest proof that Havdalah is not part of Shabbos?
Because it's separate Shabbat from.
We're separating Shabbat from the week, and what do we do over the course of the Havdalah?
You light a fire.
You break Shabbos. It's obviously not Shabbos. So actually, the rationale to consider it not part of Shabbos is quite strong. And it's even a bit surprising that at the end of the day, we do consider it at the end of the day part of the Inyan of Shabbos. One could explain when the Rambam brings down the laws of Havdalah, he says that Havdalah is commemorated in the mitzvah Zachrat Yom HaShabbos. We should remember Shabbos. How do we remember Shabbos? By when it comes in, greeting it, and when it leaves, saying goodbye to it. So it's like making it more formal, making it more special. When we say goodbye to someone, it's like, wow, we'll really miss you. So actually, Havdalah, in a way, is honoring Shabbos. It's remembering Shabbos by running away from Shabbos with honor, by being malave it with a lot of color. Yeah.
So, when the first thing, who said that you're not obligated to?
So, all I know based on the source sheet is that the Shulchan Aruch says, Yeshmi. There's somebody who says that. Okay, maybe we'll see in our source sheet if there who exactly it is. But what the Shulchan Aruch does is he gathers from all the Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rif, the Rush, and their way of analyzing the Gemara, and he'll bring the main opinion as this is the, and the Yeshmi as the other opinion. In general, the Derech of the Rambam is he'll base himself on the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam. Okay, and two out of three, whoever they are, generally that's who a Paskin like. So I don't remember. I haven't learned the Sugya of Halacha of Havdalah in quite a long time, so I don't remember who says what, but probably one of them says this, and the other two say that. Okay?
Okay? The question is, if he is saying that women do not have to be a part of it, then why is it a big thing that you have to fast until you make Havdalah and you have to,
good question. And your question actually is a little bit of the answer, because at the end of the day, we do paskin that women do have to make Havdalah. So even though we're doing the lumdis now, right, about maybe yes, maybe not, and there is an opinion that maybe should not, we rule at the end of the day, the majority, the consensus is that women are obligated to do it. And that's why a woman has to worry about not eating before Havdalah, just like a man. However, like you said, Atar, there's more leniency for women than for men when it comes to drinking before Havdalah, exactly because there's a machlokas. So if a woman is sickly or maybe pregnant or all these situations where it's really hard for her, there might be more reason to allow her to drink that water. Although honestly, as we'll learn at the end of the sugya, a woman can do Havdalah for herself. So therefore, just take some grape juice and do Havdalah, and then you don't have to fast. That would solve the problem. Yeah.
Sorry, last question. What if someone forgets to say Havdalah that week?
So the halacha is, good question, that she has until Tuesday.
What if she forgot?
It Shabbos, is over. So nothing you do. Yom Kippur, say you're sorry and move on with your life. But the Shabbos has left us one way or the other. We have a mitzvah to proclaim. It's gone. But if she forgot to do Havdalah, as long as she in some way indicated that it's no longer Shabbos. Exactly. So halacha says, saying the words Baruch HaMam V'Men Kol Shachol separates between Shabbos and the weekday.
So then if you say the words, you have to say Havdalah?
Yes. Okay, this is in the Gemara in Barachos. This is important, the detail. Even though technically I just say it's no longer Shabbos. Technically I could probably even just say Shavua Tov, and that counts as Havdalah, but the rabbis mandated that it should be done over a ceremony with wine and grape juice, whatever, with all those stuff, as a way of bringing more honor and chashivas to the act of leaving the Shabbos. So we still have to do that, and to make it more like serious, the rabbi said you can't eat until you do that Havdalah. But once I've said the word Baruch HaMav Ben Kol Shachol, I've technically separated between Shabbos and the weekday, and now I can drink water or... No, I can't. I'm sorry. Now I can turn off the lights or do malach. Okay? Clear? So actually, we probably just had a few myths and facts that we cleared up right there. There's a lot of confusion when it comes to the laws of Havdalah.
What?
The beat. We're getting there. We're on our way. So anyways, so that's just a little on this. Now, quickly, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, Mitzvah Kiddush Shabbos B'dvarim, Yitzias Shabbos, Gam Ken Barachim Alayayim L'chvad Yom. So there's, and he's going, the Sefer HaKadosh is saying that we have a mitzvah to remember Shabbos through Kiddush and to say goodbye to it in Havdalah. Bizcharim uben akevas, by men and women. V'yaaf alpi, and even though, shehimin ha-mitzvah shazman grama, that it's time bound. Shekein lamanu rabbeinu zecham lebracha shanashim chayavas bekiddush veavdala. But we've already learned that Shabbos, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos laws, men and women are equally obligated, and therefore the Sefer HaChinuch explains that women are also obligated to do Havdalah. Clear? Okay? Sefer HaChinuch, he's famous for counting all the mitzvahs and explaining all the details, who's obligated, who's not. So he's always a primary source, in addition, of course, to the Rambam. We want to understand who is obligated to do a mitzvah. Cool? Okay? Now, here's something interesting, though. The Or Chaim writes, Katav HaRosh, Nashim Ein Mavdalas La'atzman. Women should not make Havdalah for themselves. Why not? You ask. De'ein Havdalah Tluya B'Shmir Shabbos, because he holds that Havdalah is a separate entity. It's not a Shabbos matter. It's a weekday matter, as we've explained. So the Or Chaim, who's quoting the Rosh, is the one that holds that actually a woman shouldn't. It's more like it's a suffix. Since we don't know whether women are obligated in the same level as, just as a man is, better for a man to cover the woman, and that way we cover all of our bases. Okay, so we've located the source of the opinion that women should not do Havdalah for themselves.
But like it's fine to do.
We're not at the bottom line yet. We're going to get to the bottom line in just a few moments. I'm just going through a little bit of the lumdus of to understand all the different rabbis getting involved in this fun sugya. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan is a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah. A late 19th century rabbi wrote a similar book to the Mishnah Berurah, summarizing all the modern opinions that arose after the writing of the Shulchan Aruch. Remember, the Shulchan Aruch is in the end of the 16th century, so hundreds of years have passed. Now, the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan are writing a new halachic sefer. Aruch HaShulchan writes, Reb Epstein, Tov lem shishmu'u mi b'yan hashim mihu zepshita idim emi sheavdi alein sheavdilu la'atzman. Of course, it's true that a man should preferably do Havdalah for a woman, but if there's no man around, of course they should make women, they should make Havdalah on their own. Okay? So there you go. When somebody asks you, wait, I thought women aren't allowed to make Havdalah for themselves, you whip out your source sheet, you show them the Aruch HaShulchan and Or HaChaim Reish Tzadik Vav, okay? That's 296.5. And you quote it by heart. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, of course, a woman should make Havdalah for herself. She shouldn't miss out on this crucial mitzvah just because there's no man around. Okay? That would be what would be called. And I know women who have done this, who have not made Havdalah because there's no man around. A chumra shebali day kula. That you're being so strict about this extra thing of having a man not be yotze you, that you're forgetting the Ikar Hadin, the main law, which is that a woman is obligated at the end of the day to make Havdalah, and that would be silliness. So the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, don't be silly. If there's no man around, just say Havdalah yourself. Okay? Good? Now the Magen Avraham writes, so far we're ad kan in terms basically of Hilchos Havdalah, and now we're going to segue into Hilchos, do women grow a beard when they drink that Havdalah? Okay, but to summarize, and then I'll get to your question in a second, Leah, what we said is, it was originally a machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch brought down two opinions. Is Havdalah part of Shabbos? Havdalah part of Motzei Shabbos? We found the Rush said that maybe they should be machmir to have a man be yotze them. That's indeed how we paskin, that it's better lechachila that a man should be yotze a woman. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes explicitly that if there's no man around, don't be silly, and a woman should say Havdalah for herself. Clear? Amazing. Yeah. We're saying technically, as long as the son is over 13 years old, so then technically, because of this suffix about whether a woman is obligated in Hilchos Havdalah, it would be preferable if the man would do it. The 13-year-old, obviously, the 12-year-old is not chayiv, and so I would say then the woman should do it. But if we're talking about an obligated human, then he should do it. L'chachila. Yeah.
Can I ask a random question?
Sure.
About Shabbos, so. I've been to like some people's houses where the woman does hamotzi and stuff. Is that allowed even if her husband is there?
Oh, you were mischaven. So I actually intended on getting to that shayla today.
No way.
No, not just chabad. It's chabad didn't do that, really? Women do the hamotzi?
Yeah, that's the only place I've seen it.
Really? Wow.
That's a big
So Oh, perfect time. This is actually one of the more controversial halachic topics. I really like talking about this one. So technically speaking, there's no svarim which say that a woman should not say hamaitzi over bread. There's absolutely no halachic problem for, just like any bracha, for a woman, since they're obligated the same as men. So hamotzi too, there's no problem to do for a woman to do it over and to be oitzi a man. In fact, in some people even think there's maybe a bit of a hitter, especially if the woman herself made the challah, so then she feels more connected and she's saying that bracha over the hamotzi. It's a little bit more meaningful. And so technically speaking, as I've never seen in any halachic sefer any problem doing it. That's why in a lot of Orthodox households nowadays, I've never heard it was a Chabad thing, but I've been to a lot of Gush households and places like that where women do say completely halachic Orthodox women do are yotze. What is the controversy? As we're going to get to, Hilchos Kiddush. Okay, so in Hilchos Kiddush, there's a little bit of a dispute about whether women can be yotze, might see men or not. Okay? So I intended on getting to this later today, but I'll skip to it.
Went too far and lost my
Yeah, we were too controversial. So, actually, it's on the story sheet, but it doesn't matter. It's more fun doing it out. No, it doesn't matter. So, I'll tell you guys a great story. So, when I was in 10th grade, I did Machach. Machach, the Stark version. The Hesder. We'll get back. So,
I was also
doing Machach, but then it was Corona, so I didn't. It's rough. It happened. So, I don't know how a Machach is back nowadays, but it used to be there was the Hesder bus, which was like, the frumies, or they're not yet frum, but they're going to be frumies, and because they would spend their free week learning, and then like everybody else. So I was on the frumie bus, and I happened to be the frumie of the frumies, like because that was just like my nature. It was like a whole funny story. I actually went to all boys camps and all boys schools my whole life. That was my first co-ed experience ever, so it was very awkward for me, and I was much starker back then. So like I learned Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with all my free time, and I would never initiate a conversation with a girl. Only if they spoke to me would I speak back to them. So it was a very awkward summer.
Oh my God.
In any case, I was a star kid.
A big frumie.
Yeah, I was really frumie. I wanted to be a rabbi since I was 12. Okay, anyways, so. Yeah. And anyways, so at the end of the summer, it was already a little bit less awkward. I was a little less awkward with females. And we had a Shabbaton together. And we all were there. And we had the most awkward Shabbos lunch ever. Because a lot of the girls there were like quasi, you know, open and maybe even some feminists. And I had a frumie friend who also was very knowledgeable and also like annoying and like not actually as frum as he knew. Anyways, so the girls were being egged. Some of the frumie girls didn't want to do kiddush. And he was saying actually it's halachically fine to do kiddush. And they don't know. Should we do kiddush? Can the girls take kiddush? Can the girl not do kiddush? And everybody's looking at me. Because I'm supposed to be the star kid that's supposed to know the answers. So I'm like, oh no, this is a toughie. So the answer is, the Shulchan Aruch writes that a woman can do Kiddush for a man. There's absolutely no problem for a Kiddush. He writes explicitly, the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, that a man and women have the exact same equal obligation in Kiddush. As we've seen, men and women are equally obligated for Kiddush. And that's the halacha. But here's the thing. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim writes, even though that's true, it's not zila milta. It's not snias, basically. It's considered not a respectful thing for women to get up in front of guests when you're having guests, especially at the table, and to make a big deal about herself and to make kiddush in front of everybody. People, no, that's not the minhag amongst Am Yisrael. Oh, and that's exactly the point. So the question. So again, let's just start with kiddush. I'm not telling you that it's usher for a woman to say kiddush for a man. And especially if it's a family setting, when one really could honestly say, well, in that situation, it's really unsanua to hear your mom get up and say kiddush. I mean, you've seen your mom do a million things. So one could make the argument that in that situation, it would be not so unsanua. And in fact, other rabbis aren't as machmir as Mishnah Berurah about this. And they say, no, it's fine for a woman to do kiddush. And you will even see, in some really open halachic or orthodox households that a woman would do kiddush in front of men. Their argument is simply nowadays, now that women will do a speech before before men in front of the shul. So how can you argue that for her to say Kiddush in front of a few men is a big deal? And maybe in the olden days when a woman would never even think of making a big speech in front of 100 people because it's so untanua, you can consider that unseenous. But how can you say nowadays it's untanua? That's what some people argue. And other people say, no, there's something intrinsic about the act of Kiddush that it's a man's domain. It's a man's role. He's supposed to be the leader of the ship and the women's more like passive. And that's the minhag of Am Yisrael. And so it's pashnicht. It's not what's been done for hundreds of years, and therefore we're going to stick with the way it's done. So honestly, in 98% of Orthodox households, they won't do Kiddush because that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, and the man does the Kiddush. Okay, now let's move from Kiddush for a moment to Hamaitzi. Even though it doesn't say in the Sefer, the Chofetz Chaim doesn't bring down anything about Hamaitzi, some argue, yeah, but it's the same idea. What's the difference between a Kiddush and a Motzi? It's a woman drawing attention to herself and doing this ceremony in front of other people. So some people say it's not Sanua. And other people say, no, Kiddush is a formal halachic act. It's a ceremony. And that maybe is not so Sanua. But a Motzi, it's a simpler thing. It's just one blessing. And it's not written in any Sfarim that it's a problem. So why not let women do it? It's you know, especially for those people who want to let women express themselves halachically as much as possible, it's mutar. So why take this away from them? You know, if it's something, it's her way of religiously expressing herself, why should I want to take that away from a girl? So, you know, it really is a very individualistic thing. And, you know, if I was at a house of somebody who made a mochi, I would say amen, and I would eat the bread. I wouldn't lose out on my mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah, and I would not have any problem. I would not object whatsoever to a woman saying Hamaitzi. And even if she said Kiddush, I would say Amen and drink the wine. But, you know, truthfully, most Orthodox women don't feel super comfortable. They just want to do what their mommies did, and they don't want to make a big deal out of it, and they just let their husbands do it. Make sense?
Given that, shouldn't it be allowed?
So what's it? All of this is just like kind of subjective questions about is it sanua or not for a woman to get up in front of public and be mighty others. But what you're asking is there's a halachic technicality. It's not really about sneas. It's about if she's not obligated in the same way as a man, we're not sure if she's obligated, so we'd rather give the person who's 100% obligated than the person that might not be obligated. It's not really about sneas. It's more about, you know, technical, who's more obligated. Again, at the end of the day, if a woman said the Havdalah for a man, she was yotze him. Because we do paskin that a woman is obligated on the same, you know, like a man. So if she did it, then it's good. It counted. It's all good. But this is not the only issue. There's a lot of these little issues that since we're not sure if women are obligated the same as men, we will prefer that the man say the blessing or something like that. Clear? Everyone okay with this?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything wrong. Okay, so that was one of the more actually controversial issues out there. Hope I didn't get myself in too much trouble. And let's move to something a little bit less controversial.
I don't think that was so controversial.
I don't think it was controversial.
Probably for you girls because you've been exposed. In particular, you're coming from a more modern background. Some of you girls from like SAR and stuff like that. No. But anyways, you're coming from a little bit more of a more modern background. What I said wasn't so controversial. If I would have said just that in a yeshivish girls' seminary, I probably would have gotten fired. Okay, so yeah.
I went to the Seattle.
No, what I said is 100% accurate. I'm saying I really believe everything I said is like I think it's very silly when people get so upset when women do amotzi. I've been to very firm homes where the woman says amotzi. I know someone personally who's very firm. And she says emoti every Shabbos, and it's her way of expressing herself. And that's great. Like, my wife doesn't do it. She wouldn't do it in a million years. It's not her thing. She couldn't even imagine. She doesn't like it. She's kind of anti the whole feminist vibe. So she doesn't like that stuff at all. But I just, you know, teach his own.
I've been to feminism and Judaism.
Both. My wife is very, very anti any of that. No, just like, she doesn't like when women try to make a big, like try to go out of their way to do man stuff, but and
I
as to why you did it, you could talk
like,
to her and to each man and woman her
I
own.
I think those are just the like extremists, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's just, like, women kind of do what they want, and then, like, some women go out of their way to be like, oh, there's a man doing this, now I want to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's extreme.
Like, I think there's a difference between wanting to do something.
I think,
I agree. I think sometimes some women give the other sincere women a bad name because...
Yeah.
They're not really drawing a line of, well, they don't really care what halacha is, they just want to do what feels right. But there could be other girls that actually do genuinely want to express themselves religiously, and if it's mutar, then why not? So I certainly wouldn't judge anyone. I'm not a woman, so I don't have to deal with these difficulties, and I respect everyone to like make their own decisions, and whatever you want
to
do in your house is good. We're still not at the beard part. We got distracted.
I didn't think that. I thought it was going to be like women subject one, Abdullah subject two, and then beards subject three.
Oh, we can talk about beards too if you really want.
What's it called? A nazir? Is that what it is? When you can't shave.
Yeah, so that's a different topic. But no, we're talking about whether women get beards if they do drink Abdullah.
Yeah,
okay.
I feel like no.
Yeah, okay, so you agree. Okay, so you're right. They don't. Let's see why some people think they do and why they don't. So the Magen Avraham writes, "Now go and ask
yourself." Why would women get beards? Because if we were just comparing it to Kiddush, like on Friday, then women drink that wine.
You're right. So again, at the end of the day, this is the halachic myth class. I'm just taking myths that are out there. So you should know that this myth is pretty prevalent. If you go to certain Jewish frumi world, and they will actually think that women. Do you see what I'm saying? A lot of people really think that women will grow a beard if they drink Havdalah wine. So I'm here to explain whether that's true or not, and explain the possible rationale as to why or why not.
Is it also going to talk about like holding the candle tall and on top of
that too?
I still do that.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that sometimes I'm tired, so I guess
no,
I'm okay.
And my parents would tell me, no, you can't, you're going here. But I don't know if they believe that.
They
like,
just say that,
yeah.
Oh, okay. But that's the fun of this class. We're going to find out where that came from. Okay. The Magen Avraham writes, Nagu anashim shalolish tot mikos Havdalah. The women have the custom not to drink from the Havdalah by Avayin Tamar Bishlah. And as to the reason why not, check out the Shlah. Now the Shlah is a very Kabbalistic rabbi. In any case, he is the source that says that for whatever reason, the custom is that women generally do not drink the Havdalah wine. Okay? I'm not going to get into the Kabbalistic reasons. I'm just letting you know that indeed is a thing. Not that you did a terrible thing if you drank from it, but it is a Kabbalistic idea for whatever reason that in general women don't drink from the Havdalah cup. Okay, I'm sure you're familiar. Have you seen this before? No? Okay. But it's a thing.
I just heard the weird thing. I didn't know Kabbalah said no.
So I'll jump into it just a minute, just for a second, so you'll see that it's a little deeper than I understand. Cut of the other Shlah writes, "For yadat masha mamatinu zadal besud eitz shechatabu eitz yishon gefen haita." Everybody knows that the first fruit that Adam and Eve ate from was wine, grapes.
Not everyone knows.
So
that.
It definitely. Well, now you know because you came to my class. So,
I thought
so,
that it was an apple.
There's no opinion in the Gemara that it was an apple. In the Gemara, it doesn't say in the Torah what it was. In the Gemara, it mentions four opinions as to what it could have been. Gemara and Brachas. And in the Zohar, it says the true opinion is that it was wine.
Okay.
Grapes. That was what he ate. Okay, and that has a lot to do with wine on Friday night. We have wine.
But grapes grow on a vine, not a tree. And it said that
it could have been a vine could be called a tree in biblical language. It's not the worst thing. It's not the craziest thing in the world. Vines look like trees. It turned out she took grapes and gave it to him. She wanted to separate from man through wine. So therefore, when we drink that wine at Havdalah, the women doesn't get to separate through drinking of the wine. So as I told you girls, I'm going to say the words. I don't really completely understand this Kabbalistic concept, but it has something to do with going back to the Garden of Eden. There's this idea to somehow fix that mistake of Adam and Eve that a woman doesn't drink from the grape juice or from the wine of Havdalah. Okay?
separate? Why did she want to separate?
She wanted to separate from man. From Adam.
Just woman.
She caused a separation between her husband and herself by going towards that taiva of going against the Ratzon of Hashem. And she...
Why would she give it to him?
Maybe she wanted him also to be separated a little bit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because she was separated a little bit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're a little bit off topic. It's not really meant to be a shiur about what really happened in the Garden of Eden. That's a great shiur for another day. All I'm mentioning to you is there's some crazy Kabbalistic idea out there based on the Garden of Eden that's why the Shlom mentions that it's better not for the women to drink from the grape juice. I didn't say it's a terrible sin, you drank from the grape juice. I'm just saying there's a Kabbalistic idea out there. But it doesn't write anywhere in any Sfarim that women, if they drink the grape juice, are going to grow a beard. So where did it come from that some people might have gotten confused and said that you're going to grow a beard? So I read two fascinating theories. First of all, Rabbi is in the second page on the other side. Rabbi Zivotskifi suggests this superstition came back from a cryptic remark found in Sefer Matmanim, which writes, the reason women are prohibited from bringing the Abdullah wine is because they do not have beards. Only someone who has a beard is supposed to drink from the Havdalah wine. Now, this is not a halacha. It's a Kabbalistic thing. I know plenty of rabbis without beards who drink from the cup. This is a Kabbalistic thing mentioned out there. And apparently people got confused and connected that only someone with a beard can drink the wine to, if you drink the wine and you're a girl, then maybe you're going to grow a beard. So that's a theory. We don't know for sure. It's just a theory as to maybe how this confusion about the beards came out. There's another theory that I found, which is that it says in the Gemara that if you drink a certain type of beer, you're going to grow a beard. Now, in the olden days, Havdalah was very often drunk on beer, because people didn't always have wine. Wine was very expensive, and beer was a lot cheaper. And you're allowed to do Havdalah on beer. So in the olden days, often people would do beer. So since the Gemara says that if you drink beer, you'll grow a beard, maybe, or your beard will be a little better, maybe that's how this thing, superstition, came about, that women will grow a beard. But the good news is, don't worry about it. It's not in any sources. If you drink the grape juice, which you should do if there's no man around, you will not grow a beard. You heard it here first. I'm putting myself out there by saying this, but I really don't think you have to worry about the beard thing. Okay? Sounds fun?
Yeah.
Exciting. All right. Without further ado, we're going to, for our last 10 minutes together, now, you're marked here. Don't worry. Now, we have 10 minutes left, and I wanted to cover the topic of wuzzaman. Wuzzaman. Should a woman make a woman wuzzaman? Myth or fact? Here's the question.
It's a fact.
Is a woman obligated to do a wuzzaman?
No.
If there are three women around?
Nope.
If there are three.
I think it's
there three or four of us.
I think the fact that men would do it is very weird. I do not like it at all. I think it's very feminist.
So we have a no. We have a strong no vote.
Strong
any yes
no.
votes?
I don't want the answer to be yes, but I know that it is yes.
No, I
do not think we're obligated
at
all. Totally not.
Okay, so we have a few minutes to cover this beautiful sugya and learn something new. Okay, if you really like the story sheets, I have a few extra ones here, and you can also review it later. So, there is a mitzvah called benching. You probably knew that. It's not a myth. Everyone's obligated, even not on Shabbos, to bench if you have bread, gavat. The Mishnah says, three that ate together are chayavim to do a zimun, to gather together and say, we're going to praise the Lord Almighty. How do you know this? Let's call out to the name of the Lord and praise Him together. So it's more beautiful when we call out together before we bench. And that is, that's the halacha. That's the concept of zimun. Now, who is obligated to do zimun? Gemara in Erechim writes, "Kol chayivim b'zimun." Everyone is obligated to do a zimun. Latuyim. What does this include? Latuyim nashim abadim, women and slaves and men.
No, I refuse.
Are also, however, Gemara says, "Aval nashim zanat atzman b'abadim zanim latzman." Women bench alone and slaves bench alone. They don't bench together. Why not? Rush explains, because it's considered a little bit pretzis. It's considered a little bit, you know, they're joining together like good old buddies and friends. And so it's not considered tanua. So men, women and slaves don't bench. They don't do zimun. They don't join together. Oh, not, we'll get there. Give me a few minutes. Okay. So the Rush writes, since women are obligated in Birkas Hamazon just like men, they're also obligated to do a Zimun, just like men. No difference. However, Tosfos is famous for asking, wait a second, I don't see people do this. Tosfos is writing in the 13th century. He's looking around and says, I don't see women doing Zimun. Why not? So he tries to explain what's going on around him. He says, Amai lunagu. Yishlomer denashim mezamnos atron hainu imratzu lezamen mezamnos. Tosfos thinks that if they want to make a zimun, then they can make a zimun, but not that they are obligated to do a zimun. So Tosfos is on, understand this Gemara to mean that a woman is not obligated to do a zimun. They only can choose to. What? Yes. Men are obligated to do it according to everybody. Absolutely, if they're eating together. Okay? Now, so that's support for Adira's stance of, well, they don't have to. She could quote Tosos.
No,
However, Mishnah Berurah explains, the rabbis didn't want to give them such a hard obligation to bench. It doesn't happen. Maybe they won't know the blessing of Birkas Hamazon, of Zimun. You know, Rabbi Sinai Rech, it's a lot of words, it's back and forth. They didn't know it in the olden days. So maybe the Mishnah Berurah says that that's why the rabbis didn't obligate women to do it like men. If they want to do it, great, but they don't have to do it. Okay? But if that Mishnah Berurah is true, one might be able to argue that nowadays, thank God, women are a little bit more educated. A lot of them even know how to read. It's amazing. And so maybe they should actually do Zimun, if that's the only reason. So, the Gra writes, Vilna Gaon writes, Divya Rush, Iker, the Rush is right. What did the Rush say? Let's remember, the Rush wrote, Nenashim Archayavas in Birkas Hamazon, that they are Chayav in Birkas Hamazon. So it seems like, according to the Vilna Gaon, we should paskin like a stricter opinion and obligate women to do Zimun. Right? But, and in fact, the Ben Ish Chai, a Sephardi posek, writes similarly, Ra'ui shekol adam yomad l'nashe b'nei beitu, shiyu mezamnot latzman. You should teach your daughters that they should make a zimun when they are on their own. They should indeed make a zimun. Both the Gra and the Ben Ish Chai were not modern Orthodox liberal rabbis, not at all. And they feel that, in fact, this is a mitzvah. It's not feminist. It's just the halacha that women should make a zimun to themselves. Okay, now I won't leave you girls hanging. There is another opinion. I quoted it in the Tshuvos v'Hanhagos, which is a modern-day ultra-Orthodox posek. Okay, and he's going to explain why he actually feels women should not do a wizumin. Okay, so he's being melamed tchus on all of those stark yeshivish women who, let's be honest, we haven't seen those women when they're eating on their own some bread make a zimun. So why? So he explains like this. It appears to me, even though the Gra says they should do it, that's only when there's no men around them. But then when the Gra says that women should bench, that means when they're only alone. Not if there's another guy around. Okay, so the Tshuvos v'Hanhagos first of all says that it's only when women are alone. If I'm around, I ruin it for the women. Furthermore, writes Tshuvos v'Hanhagos, the chiyuv zimimanu chal al kol achlim kachada, aval biyot nim yachim anashim, dubai tzniut. It's not tznius. similar to what we were saying about Kiddush and Amaitzi, for a woman to lead while a man is just sitting there, nah, not sneeze, not cool. So they're not chayiv to do zimun. And what about in case when a woman is alone? They don't have to join men. But the rabbis didn't mechalik between a case where they're alone and a case when there's a guy around. So they're not obligated to do it. But what if a woman says, okay, but I'm not obligated to do it, but I want to do it. What if I want to do it? Can I do it? So they see, I think better not to do it. Why? Maybe it's arrogant. It's yuhara. That I'm going to go and lead a wazumin when my mom didn't make a wazumin. What am I, some frumi? No, that's arrogant. But oh, the gimel nikra rabim, plus three is already rabim. Bimkem ulay yesh bezeh lo titko to do. And maybe I'm rebelling as a group against the norms. Maybe it's a brachal batal. I'm saying God's name in vain. So for all those reasons, the tshuvas van hagos, I think that's Rav Vosner, who is a Haredi rabbi, says not only are women not obligated, better not for women to lead their own zimun. However, the last opinion, and then I'll put my opinion, Rav David Orbach, who's the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who's also actually part of the ultra-Orthodox community, disagrees. And he says, Shalosh nashim sh'achlo b'yachad im ish echad o shayim nachon sh'echad men t'berech b'yachat ha-zimun v'lo ha-ish avavadai rashaya ish la'anot achareim. Indeed, it is appropriate that three women should make a zimun and the man should answer after them. So if I have three women in my house, they should lead the zimun and I should answer along with them. And again, this is not a modern Orthodox liberal rabbi, it's a Haredi rabbi, in addition to the Vilna Gaon, who is as Haredi as it gets, who also believes that this is a halacha. So to summarize, it's all good. If you want to not make a wuzumin, you can quote the Tshuvas van Hagos and many other ultra-Orthodox rabbis to say that's not the minog. The minog is for women not to make a zimun, and so that's not what we do. But if, on the other hand, you do want to fulfill this mitzvah, or for whatever reason, you have lots of great rabbis to rely upon, including David Orbach, Ben Ish Chai, and the Gra, and lots of other rabbis who say, indeed, a woman can and probably should make a wuzumin. So I don't know what the minhag is. I'm not here to... So now you understand where Rav Jason is coming from. He's basing himself on these rabbis, and that's his prerogative. I don't know what I would do if I were in his shoes. But, you know, you should do whatever makes you feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have great poskim from here and from there.
Thank you.
Hope you guys had a great night. Have a chodesh tov. Make sure to have something yummy. L'chvod Rosh Chodesh. It's a mitzvah. It's Rosh Chodesh tonight and tomorrow. Have a Laila Tov.